Like everywhere in the world, New Zealand has its fair share of the creepy and supernatural. And despite New Zealand's small size, its darkness can even overrule the rest of the world. I'm Rishu Sheth, and this is Legend. People get scared when they go to Spookers, based at King's Seat Hospital 30 minutes south of Auckland in Karaka. And it's for a good reason. It's a full-blown, immersive horror attraction at the Haunted Attraction Scream Park, as the documentary Spookers, screening on SBS Viceland and SBS On Demand, vividly demonstrates. But if they knew the true story of the psychiatric hospital going in, they'd be doubly chilled to the bone. King's Seat operated from 1932 to 1999, when it was closed as part of New Zealand's reform of its mental health system. The sprawling compound at one stage housed over 800 patients with a maximum security wing and morgue on site. Its alleged patients were subjected to horrific acts of abuse at King's Seat. Ex-patients of psychiatric hospitals in New Zealand in the 1960s and 1970s have claimed systemic abuse included beatings and misuse of electric shock therapy and drugs as punishment, according to the New Zealand Herald. One of the most high-profile cases of alleged abuse at King's Seat is the death of 11-year-old Clement Matthews. His case was reopened by police in 2004, 36 years after his death, after fellow patient and his friend Stephen Lindsay came forward as a witness. Matthews' official cause of death was pneumonia, but Lindsay, who was 14 at the time, alleged this was a cover-up of horrific abuse. He said he saw his friend being thrown to the ground by a male nurse and brutally kicked in the back after Matthew had taken a piece of bread. Lindsay told the New York Zealand Herald his friend died like a dog. "I had heard something snap. It was like a branch breaking. I knew at the time his back was broken." Two deeply troubled 13-year-old boys vanished without a trace from King's Seat in 1967. In separate incidents, says Bruce Mitchell and Kelly Hayden Collins allegedly wandered out of the hospital and were presumed dead by the drowning in nearby Manukau Harbor, reports the New Zealand Herald. Police have claimed to have found footprints leading into the water in the case of Mitchell, and the only evidence found of Collins was a shoe in a paddock, but neither body was ever found. Mitchell's siblings believe foul play may have been a factor in their brother's disappearance, and that he was being physically abused. "Every time we went to see him, he was covered in bruises," his brother John Mitchell told the New Zealand Herald. "We were sure he was being beaten, but we were always told by the hospital staff that he walked into a door. I think something happened to him. I'm not a suspicious person by nature, but I do believe something happened to my brother." Also, according to the New Zealand Herald, a coroner's hearing into Mitchell's death was never carried out, and there is no record of his death. His sister Judy Sorich had questioned why there was no further investigation into her brother's death, given the suspicious and disturbing circumstances surrounding it. "He used to panic when we left. He was so frightened of that place," she said. By the way, the place is King's Seat. "Like so many others, all we want is answers. With over 100 reported ghost sightings at King's Seat, the most prevalent is the green nurse, who took his own life and now apparently dwells in the old nurse's quarters. Interestingly, it's a nursing arena that seems to have provided fertile ground for ghost hunting at King's Seat." Footage shows the paranormal investigators of Haunted Auckland supposedly communing with a ghost named Alexis Jackson, a nurse who continues to look after patients at the hospital. And during a visit to a former nurse's house, another team member claimed to feel dizzy and nauseous when she touched a bathtub. "Climbing in, she sensed something terrible had happened. I closed my eyes and saw a bit clearer picture of a woman being pushed under the water," she said. "I saw her arms and legs thrashing in the bathtub. I could see a hand and arm pushing her under the water, drowning her." According to Haunted Auckland, the staff at Spookers have been creeped out by the object manipulation and chilly spots. And at the King's Seat Villas, there's been some serious poltergeist activity with reports of shaking cupboard doors, tapping on windows, self-operating toilets and taps, and moving furniture. Voices have been heard, sulfur smell and shadowy figures seen. Meanwhile, the TV show Ghost Hunt features footage of an unplugged dentist chair turning itself on, and claims to have been captured in the shape of a ghost's face in a shower stall. But whether you believe in the supernatural or not, it's undeniable the walls of King's Seat Hospital have seen real horror unimaginable to many of us. Carlisle House is considered by locals in the area to be most certainly haunted, though most of its reputation has been built around stretched truths, made-up stories, alongside its spooky exterior, leading to one very unfairly mislabeled and mistreated local urban legend. It sits Dementor-like at 84 Richmond Road, Grey Lynn, Auckland, and sucks the life, emotion, and property value out of the street. An asperous gray building with the colossal stone tarnished by moss and rust. Carlisle House is definitely a foreboding and eerie sight to beholder. The smashed windows, boarded, indented wooden doors, and high creepy curvature of the windows also significantly contribute to the house's general eeriness and do little to welcome the curious guests that meander outside on the footpath. For generations, thousands of young Kiwis have grown up knowing the infamy and myths surrounding Carlisle House. It was built in 1886 and was formerly known as the Costly Training Institution for Orphans. Many myths surround it. The most disturbing is that 43 young boys died from smoke inhalation during a fire in 1912. The fire was supposedly started by a neglected candle which spread to the curtains and ravaged through the dorms, a tragedy in the truest sense. The land itself is tainted by the traumatic events that took place, and the building's rotted walls will always be scarred by the terror, death, and anguish from within. The tortured souls of the children are fabled to still stalk the corridors. You can feel ghostly eyes peering through the multicolored stained glass windows, and you can hear them shrieking and crying for someone to save them from their fiery abyss. The building creaks and groans from the wind, which hurls through the hallways, rattling and shaking the walls. The children's little hobnail boots are said to clatter up and down the decrepit staircases in the dark of the night. Innocent passersby are forever reminded of those lost children by the dull, gilded letters set in stone on the side of the mansion. Children's Home 1910, with a restorative Latin quote above, Dio Juvanti, with a God's help. Landmark Victorian building in danger of collapse. Edward Costly died in the 1800s and left a very large amount of money to be used for various charitable purposes, including additions to the Auckland and Green Lane hospitals, which were named the Costly Wards. This structure in Richmond Road is built as a Costly Industrial School for boys. The focus of the Costly trustees was boys whose character and antecedents were good, or those likely to profit by or be a credit to the institution. The boys were maintained a portion of their earnings being deducted for their keep until they were capable of controlling their affairs. Younger boys attended the nearest school until the end of Standard 4. Numbers dwindled after the closure of the Auckland Industrial School in 1896. Following the closure of the Costly Training Institute at the end of 1908, this place served for two decades as the Richmond Road Children's Home, an angelic institution. In 1913, a memorial chapel was constructed for Sister Cecile of the Order of the Good Shepherd, who had managed the facility from 1909 until she died in 1912. Following the 1931 Hawke's Bay earthquake, the building briefly housed Hukaker Maori Girls' School. From 1935 until circa 1969, the headquarters and training school of the Church Academy, an Anglican evangelical outreach mission founded in London by Wilson Carlyle to undertake work in social slums, was located here, which is when it was renamed the Carlyle House. The Church of St. Michael and All Angels, the Church Army, and an associated boys' club are central elements of Derek Hanson's Remember Me, a novel. Set in Richmond Road during the 1950s, the building was briefly used by the Department of Social Welfare as a Remand home, and in 1973 became the Auckland Alternative School. Virtually nothing has been done to this building since the 1970s, and it is rapidly decaying. Despite the many romantic stories circulating, there was never a fire here in which 43 children perished. The boys' home operated from the mid-1880s to the 1950s, and then the Salvation Army used it for emergency housing for 20 years or so. Without a doubt, some deaths would have occurred here without that century of occupation. There was a fire in the late 1980s, and possibly another in the 1990s, but neither involved anyone being hurt, let alone dying. While there may be a resident ghost, people may be assured that if 43 children had died in a fire in this building without any newspaper reports, the building would simply wouldn't be standing. It would have been immediately demolished. But people say it wasn't because a mysterious force pushed construction workers out. And no one knows how.